Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
All for once in my life, could just something go right? All for once in my life, could just something go right? I've been waiting all my life.
Just once in our lives, okay. The Devils, you know, I don't know, not lose a game.
Hold on, before we go there, is this stuff just in your head and you're like, this is the song I got to play? Or do you actively say, yeah, I got to Google something that's like a sad song?
How do you find this stuff? They pop in my head. Nice. Seriously, that's all it is. Just pops in my head. But we are in the middle right now of watching the Devils versus the Stars. It's now just the second period, and the Devils are winning, guys.
They just doubled their lead, in fact.
Oh, I missed the goal? What?
I waited a minute for you, Dan.
Oh, shit.
It's not enough.
No. Well, I won't tell you that it's Timo time, man.
There it is. Timo time. Beautiful.
What a goal.
Yeah,
they're showing up tonight, like, boys.
So how do we recap the first 24 minutes we've seen?
Well, because, extremely shaky start by Jake Allen. Jake Ottinger is pulled from the game. We just took a top line top line goalie and put his ass on the bench. When's the last time we've done that?
I can't remember the last time we chased somebody.
It seriously looks like this team does not want to lose.
I guess
tonight.
It was, you know, we put up what? It's seven on
Buffalo.
Yeah.
And that was only because I think what's his name got hurt in that game.
It's
really interesting because other than being scored on in 15 seconds, which, you know, first shot, it's just like, hey, Jake Allen, you're going to fit right in, buddy. I was seeing that thing I hate to see. I was seeing that gliding again, like the first couple shifts. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They don't care about this game. And then they just slowly kind of corrected themselves. Couple of beauty goals. Hollow was a great little dangle goal. Mercer's was beautiful.
And finally, a little puck luck with Tierney's goal, right? That never should have went in, but we don't get that kind of luck. Uh-huh. So things are going well for this team. They're 6 points out of a playoff spot, and if they seriously don't start playing this type of hockey for the next 17 games, they're going to be just, you know, be out of it in a week. But they are, you know, hopefully they hold on here. They make up a little bit of ground. You got a beatable Arizona team coming up on Saturday. You've got a sort of struggling Vegas team coming up on Sunday. You string three wins together. Now, this isn't over. I mean, there's a very good chance they can blow this two-goal lead.
Sure.
But you got to get points.
25 minutes left in this game.
You have to get points in this game. Like, you can't go another regulation loss and even want to entertain a playoff opportunity. But it was nice to see Mercer get back on the board because he missed a glorious opportunity in the first. A great Jake Ottinger glove save.
Beautiful. And that pass from Jack, too. That was a pretty special pass, too. That wasn't just your run-of-the-mill pass.
Well, what do you guys think of this line changes that we have going on tonight?
It's looking good. I like it.
You know, we talked a lot about possibly, you know, why not move Mercer up with Hughes and Bratt, but I kind of like him better up there with Hughes and Heischer. I think let's put those two guys together. The Brat Hollaline and Timo Myers looking really good. The third line having Holtz up there with Nosek finally. Give him a little bit, you know, let's see if this guy can get going a little bit. Get a couple of points. Move him up. Give him a little bit more ice time. You know, I like what I'm saying right now. Did the kid DeSimone, why was this kid on the fucking bench for the last 2 months? He's played great in this first period.
Yeah, he really has.
Hataka, I really like. I really like Hataka's play. I mean, it sucks about Jonas Siegenthaler, but look, man, not for nothing. He was struggling bad this year. If Hataka and DeSimone can kind of give them a little bit of stability on the back end, that's huge.
Yeah, and to your point, I did see the lines coming up, and instantly I did like them. I like kind of giving Mercer that extra jolt, right? He's just not having a great year, a little bit of confidence getting up there on a very talented first line. I think the way Meyer's playing right now, you can pretty much put him with anybody. He's back to being him, so I'm comfortable with that. And it gets, you know, Holtz up a little bit of a peg. But what I like more about that is that I like the idea now of Holtz playing with Palat. Because I think Palat is kind of bringing the right type of game.
Oh, my
right
God!
And I'm, who's that?
The guy I just mentioned. Tomas Nosek. Just mentioned him, and he fucking nets the fifth goal of the night.
5-2 against Dallas. Who saw this coming?
Wow. Well, they whooped up on us 6-2 last time we played. And
I saw
that
coming.
Wow, wow, wow.
This is probably the one game we should be watching and not doing a podcast on, huh?
Ah, this is fine. We'll at least watch the third period. Hey, look, you know, it's so much nicer doing a podcast when you're happy and the team's doing good. Too many times this year are we getting on, like, we seem to be happy when we do the games before, with the shows before games, because we're optimistic.
Eternally optimistic, sure.
I mean, we can get in the dumps and talk about the Ranger game, because we haven't talked about that.
I'm not going to lie, just sitting down, watching the first period, getting ready to get on the podcast, I was, like, already, like, here we go, I'm going to have to, like, you know, spin it. This is going to be bad. And here we go. It's a totally different hour.
You know, look, the Ranger game, there was so much wrong with that fucking game. And, you know, Dan, you wrote a wonderful article, which anybody can find at Uncle Puck, theunclepuckers.com,
our new website. Theunclepuckers.com. We officially changed it to find us easy.
Dan wrote a great article, and a lot of it was about that Ranger game. And I know that you wrote some of it, Dan, tongue-in-cheek, but your points were very good and valid. And I do want to actually – is there more poetic justice than this team sneaking into the playoffs and beating the Rangers again in the first round? Like,
I think that would be our Stanley number one goal. Yeah, that would be the – I mean, talk about salvage the season. That would be amazing. I really am just not even looking that far ahead. I'm looking to April 3rd.
Yeah.
And I want that rematch. Like, anybody didn't read that thing. It's the gist of it is like, we got to go out for blood against this team. There's no reason to let them get away with that. I don't care if we win or not. So,
do we have the guys that can do that? Because I agree with you. I think, especially if you're not going to the playoffs,
right,
you have to make sure that one of their main guys might not be 100%. Come playoff time.
Oh, yeah.
After what they've done, and I have to say something with this Matt Rempe shit, this is now two games in a row.
Yeah, we owe him two guys at least.
So if anybody that is a Ranger fan or a hockey fan or whatever thinks that this is not coming from the fucking, from Peter Laviolette and the guys behind that bench, you're fucking out of your mind.
Oh, yeah.
You do not send that prick, that cocksucker out to do what he's done. And you know, Peter Laviolette's what, not okay with it? Bullshit. He said, you go out and take him out. That's what they're doing. And it's fucking Bush League. And this guy, Rempe, should not be in the NHL. He just should not be in this fucking league. And then to not answer the bell, to be that much of a coward that you skate away and you don't answer. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think they put you in a situation where the best course we can do is target some of their guys. And I mean this because I feel like there is a world in which we do this and we get ugly, come out top. It's good for us. Also, you look at like the possibility we end up with pulling the Rangers in playoffs, and, you know, the miracle happens. We make eight and they are in one. What are you going to do? Like lose a player every time you play them because you can't take one back? You know, you want to make them stop this stuff. You level Panarin, you level somebody else, and that will have an effect. I think Laviolette won't be too happy to play that game at that point.
And well, if McDermott squares up with Rempe on Monday night and McDermott fucks him up, then you end that shit right then and there. But
I don't know if he ever will. Yeah,
no, he's a puss.
Skate off. Yep.
Exactly. He skates away, and you know what? I don't understand. Even as if I was on the bench as a Ranger, that would fucking disgust me, and yeah. I would lose all respect that I have for this guy, even though he was my teammate.
Right?
Like, all right, I get that's your style, that's how you play. You're not a borderline dirty player. You're a dirty player.
Cross the line.
Threw the elbow out on purpose. You know,
They are out there. There are guys in the NHL that are strictly dirty players. But you know what those dirty players do? They battle. They'll fight. They'll answer the bell because that's just who they are. If I'm on the bench and I see you go out and take out another one of those players, but then when our tough guy steps up, you walk away, skate away, waving like you're some fucking badass. Yep. Like, are you serious? Like, I would lose all respect for you. I would lose all respect.
You take the fight. You drop McDermott. You can walk away waving.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And you can go ahead and be cocky like that, but not that way. He's Bush League. And you know what is interesting? I hate, you know, just like on our X feed, I guess just because of the algorithms and stuff, like we get Rangers people talking on it. I am so surprised at the number of people that defend the action. Is it just your complete love for your team that you blindly follow exactly and say he's fine? Because it's ridiculous.
Well, I think in our experiences, we've noticed most Ranger fans are just fucking stupid and they're blind to the facts. If this was a Devil, I'd be saying the exact same thing. I'd be saying, you know what, dude? I don't want this guy on my fucking team. Because what's going to happen is the next time he does this shit, someone's going to go and put an elbow to Jack's head or put an elbow to Heischer's head.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And something like that. And that's what's going to happen. And next thing you know, it's going to be Panarin on his fucking back with his head cracked open. It should be. And it should have been on Monday. Like, our response was just so pathetic.
I would have loved for, you know, at the time when the refs were trying to keep them separated, that we just took it insane from there. That would have been the best case scenario, is that, like, bench clearing brawl at that point.
Robbie Fetcherek throwing the bench.
Don't let him skate off the ice. You don't let the refs usher him off the ice. You know, the whole team goes after him. And, like, that would have been the best possible response. I think they have to get ugly like that with this team.
Well, you know, it's funny because you don't see bench-clearing brawls anymore. They just don't happen. But that is a spot where you could defend it.
Oh, yeah.
You could see it happening. When somebody, like, I mean, there was no other reason other than I'm going to take this player out.
Yes.
Plain and simple. You weren't playing the puck. You weren't playing the body. You know, Siegenthaler didn't even see you coming. And, you know, that's, yeah. I would have sent fucking McDermott into the locker room to kick his ass.
Yeah. There wasn't even any last second, you know.
No, the last
tuck of the elbow. Instead, it was the complete opposite. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
He literally pushed through his follow through. And for all the suspensions and stuff that we've seen this year, most of them, I remember saying on the show, like, I looked, like, the guy did try to tuck, but he still went up high. It's just, it happens. It wasn't dirty per se, but it was an illegal
Even
hit.
Even the hit on Bastion, I don't like it. It was late. Right. It was obviously late, but it was not, the hit itself wasn't dirty like this. This was no doubt about it.
But it's just because he's tall, Dan.
Yeah. Right. Is that what they're saying? Because that's what I was curious about. What are Ranger fans saying about how are
usually,
they defending this?
First of all, they'll just defend it in any generic way. But usually it seems that their argument keeps falling back to 20 years ago, Scott Stevens.
Well, okay. You know,
we had the dirtiest hitter in the league.
Look, who had four elbowing penalties his entire career?
No, he hit Neil, had a shoulder hit. But, you know, there's a way in which a tall guy, when he throws a good, clean hit, is going to catch the guy with his elbow, but that elbow better be in against his body.
Right. Exactly.
And that's not what happened. Go, you know, anybody, look, it's even foolish to argue with anybody defending that you know where they're coming from. You know what it is.
There's no place in the league for a player like that. There's just not. Go to the ECHL if you're going to want to do that shit, but this is with the big boys and the skilled boys, and you're not either, you know, you're not a skilled player. You're a fucking hack. And, you know, I wouldn't even want him on my team. You know, I mean, I'm fine with McDermott. I wish he'd stay out of the box because either he needs to drop the gloves and fight somebody or, you know, just stay out of the box, dude.
I was kind of disgusted with PK Subban on this thing. I don't know if I saw something with him on Instagram. He's like, you know, he's you got to understand he's what he's trying to do as a player. Rempe is so hard, you know. He's doing the best he can, and you know, he's trying real hard. So you got to give him some grace there. If he was an older player, I would say you throw a book at him.
PK said this?
Yes, and I was shocked. I'm like, dude, where are you coming from with this? If that was you getting clipped by elbows intentional, I don't think you'd be saying that. You know,
well, like, maybe because PK Sluban knows what it's like to be kind of categorized as a dirty player. You know, that might have something.
Even that would exceed anything that he did.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was.
There's just no excuse for it. You want to use this bullshit that, oh, he's a young player and he doesn't know, you know, he doesn't know how to control himself yet. Then he needs to stay in the AHL, not be up here. If that's the case, you know, he basically, to me, the Rangers and the supporting that type of player, you're just, you know, it's a team of hacks, and I want nothing more than to face them in the first round of the playoffs. Nothing more.
Well, it's going to be an uphill battle to make it in, but if we do, there's probably even money chance it's going to be, you know, them or Carolina.
Or Florida.
Yeah,
it depends on where we end up. You know, the first wild card, the second wild card. I mean, we're 6 points out now. Detroit's losing. Well, they were when we started this show. So, you know, there's going to be some ground made up, and we have yet to see the Devils play their best hockey. This game could very well be the start of it, but we thought that a couple of times this year, and they start and stop this whole one step forward, two steps back that we seem to always do.
Yeah.
You know, maybe now they can actually put together a good game. I like DeSimone and Hataka up in this lineup. I was not a fan of how Marino was playing this year. I definitely was not a fan of how Siegenthaler was playing this year. So maybe these guys can give you a little bit of stability.
Yeah, I think in the pregame they said word was play free, I think they said, right?
What does that mean?
I don't know. I mean, I guess the way Nico was describing it was like, they told us, you know, to just try whatever we want creatively, but, you know, we got to, you know, make sure we get back. So he's making us do that too, so.
I kind of get that, you know.
Yeah, they haven't been scoring a lot, so you got to try to do something here to get the offense going.
You know, if you're playing within a system, and that system is a complex system, whether that be your offensive system, whether it be your defensive system, and if it is complex where guys aren't, I can kind of see, I guess, where if you're not playing free because you're constantly thinking about where you're supposed to be or where the coach wants you to be or what it is if the coach wants you to do, I can see how that you can kind of, you know, instead of just saying, well, fuck it, you guys know how to play hockey. Go fucking play. Be responsible and go fucking play hockey and go score some goals. And it seems to be what they're doing tonight.
I like what they're doing tonight. I mean, that penalty kill was real big.
Oh, it was great. Brat was fantastic.
I mean, they came
PK.
Close to scoring early on. And then, Brat and everybody was playing super hard. And the offensive end, you know, keeping the puck down there. That was such a hard-working kill.
That was the turning point of the period for me, notwithstanding the crossbar. So if that goes in, maybe we're a totally different game. But that's not on the penalty killer so much. But just what the actions after that, really started to turn that period around. And as far as the playing free, interesting, because that's really what they did last year. That was kind of the message, was like, we're going to do what we want within reason in the offensive zone, as long as we can, of course, get back and, you know, play a little defense, be responsible. So I don't know where they would have lost that.
Well, that was what I was just going to ask. Like, you have the same coach from last year to the start of this year. What changed? Was it? And, like, you know, again, you don't want to shit all over Lindy Ruff. He's not the coach of this team anymore. But at the same time, it is kind of astonishing how Timo Meier, once Lindy Ruff is gone, is our best offensive player. Just with him.
The offense started out pretty good this year, and it was the defense that was killing us.
Right, but
so I think I see, like, Lindy at some point trying to correct for that, and I bet you that whatever free they had at that point, they lost. I don't know.
You know, and maybe that's just what, you know, when you're this skilled offensively, with so many high-flying players, maybe that's just the way you have to play. Like, you know, you just kind of got to give them that leash and say, go create. Go do what you guys do. Yeah. I'd love to see us on a power play tonight. We haven't even had a penalty, a power play yet. Oh, wait, there's a whistle. It looks like Kevin Ball's going off, and the Dallas Stars are about to go on a power play.
If feel like we have to win this game because I feel like anytime that the Stars wear that color set, they should lose.
You don't like it?
No, I don't like it at all.
I do.
It's a neon green crayon. No.
I like it. I think it looks sharp.
I feel like there should be, you know, they're there to make sure that cars don't hit them in the dark. That's what that's about.
I mean, I wear it when I bicycle at night. I put that jersey on. It's a nice reflection. Sure. But, all right, so shorthanded goal sounds really good right now, right?
Sure. Mm,
yeah, well, I'm not going to get that power play. So.
Yeah, so let's get the shorthanded. It was a great penalty kill the first time around. Let's do it again.
Ball, a little cross check from behind. That was not a good time to play.
I'll tell you who has these last two games, the Ranger game and so far this game, has really shown me a lot is Shimon Nemec. Since his benching, his scratch, I should say, he's been playing really, really good. And again, I like that, you know, Green has him and Hughes together as the bottom pairing, just less ice time, figure it out, but do it together. And you guys can, you know, they have all the skill in the world, but you got to let them come up. You know, you can't put all the weight of this team on their shoulders. And that's what Lindy Ruff was doing. And it was obviously getting to be a bit too much.
Yeah, definitely. And I still want to see him get a little more time, maybe leading quarterback in the first power play. He's just got a different look than Luke right now, especially. He seems to get pucks through a little bit better right now. You know, no slide on Luke. It's a long season. He can go on the second power play or whatever, or just mix it up once in a while because that's how good Nemec's starting to play again.
Well, it wasn't a great start for Allen, but Jake Allen looks like he's settled down a lot. He's making some nice saves.
They had said earlier, like, he hasn't played in 3.5 weeks. That's a long time to sit, especially being – I think he only had, like, what, 12 starts all year, 13 starts all year, or something, very small sample size in a three-goalie system. You know, yeah, I think the reps are definitely helping him because I was like, okay, well, we're going to see Kokkonen tonight. He'll be back in. But Allen's
how scary did that story feel the second it went in on the first shot, 15 nice seconds, save. Given all of our problems that we've had this year? It's like, oh, this is the guy that we're going to bring in that's supposed to be the 1B backup next year. You totally slighted Kokkonen. Didn't even say, oh, he's not part of the plan at all. And then he comes in and does that. I was like, this is how it's supposed to be written.
I was willing to shake that one off, but he wasn't because – two shots later, the second goal goes in, and that was a bad goal.
That was,
you know, him just not getting to the post. I'm like, oh man, what are you doing? But
because that puck was going across the net mouth. You know, it hits him; he's completely out of position, and it bounces off his skate, and it's in the back of the net. And you know, it did look like, oh boy, it might be one of those nights again. But the Devils 5-on-5 have really shown up tonight and skated their asses off, and they did. You know, from the second shift, they were skating their asses off.
I saw some killer D on the PK.
Oof. Yeah, we just took away a nice scoring chance in front of Jake Allen. But it's 5 seconds left. It looks like we're going to kill this thing. And that's two kills. And now we got ball out of the box. So this is I like the way that this
Which
team
is better
been
than your balls
so
in the box.
You, can, hey, you like putting your balls in the box.
So it's better than your balls in a box.
I don't know, man. Put your dick in a box. Dick in a box.
Oh, that was glad. That made me, that was the first time I ever said I like Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, that was a hysterical skit.
I mean, I knew nothing about him other than whichever one of the boy bands he was in. And then I saw Dick in a Box. I'm like, this guy's, he could
it's
stay.
It's NSYNC, Bobby.
Whatever
Justin
it was, dude.
Timberlake was in NSYNC.
I'm like, sure Andy Samberg? What are you talking about?
You like Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
You know, I never got into it. I tried once and it wasn't for me.
You know what the problem is with that show?
What is
Andy Samberg.
Is it?
He bothers the shit out of me.
Well, I'll tell you where I liked him a lot.
Hot Rod.
Hot Rod. Classic movie. I love that movie.
That was a really funny movie.
Yeah.
Look. I'm just kind of, somebody just got drilled in the corner. Who was that? Looks like it was Palat. You know, even like the third and fourth line combinations, I'm really happy with tonight. I like Chris Tierney on this team. I like to see him have a little bit more ice time. He doesn't make mistakes. You know, this is just, this could be a good start. I mean, 17 games left. It's not completely out of the realm of possibilities for this team to get hot now. And man, wouldn't that be exciting?
Yeah, I mean,
I think we're down to like single digits probability. But who cares?
Yeah,
that doesn't matter.
Single-digit probability is one thing. Being 6 points out of a playoff spot's another.
Right.
Just concentrate on that. Win. Maybe the team in front of you lose. Last I checked, Islanders and Detroit were losing. Of course, every time I need the scores is when I go to the NHL on my phone, and it's like, this is not working right now.
Yeah, get some scores.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, what do you got?
So Hurricanes blanked the Panthers. Let's see, Senators blew
Jackson. Did the Hurricanes beat the Rangers on Tuesday? I didn't even watch the game.
The Rangers did wind up winning that.
Motherfuckers.
1-0, I believe. So Coyotes are up 3-1 on the Red Wings right now in the third, four minutes left. Penguins are winning against the Sharks 5-3 in the third with 2 minutes left. Lightning are about to beat the Rangers 5-3.
Oh, Jake Allen just made a beautiful glove save.
Let's see.
Can't wait to see it.
Maple Leafs 3-1 over the Flyers in the second intermission.
Nice. Hold on to that.
Capitals play the Kraken later, and the Sabres shut out the Islanders 4-0.
Nice. So we got everything going for us tonight. Everything going for us. And before we get back into some hockey, we're going to do a little shout out to our DraftKings. Oh, wait a second. We got a breakaway. You guys didn't get it yet.
I already got it before you. Okay. So I just paused another 10 seconds. I'm trying to at least get in sync with you.
Did you get it yet, Dan?
In sync.
No, I didn't get a breakaway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Looking for a super offer? This is not the Super Bowl one. Why do I have that one again? Oh, for frick's sakes. All right, you know what? Go to DraftKings. Use code THPN and do all the stuff I just said. I say on every show. If you need to know all the fine print, you go back and listen to the last show we did.
That's right.
So I'm not going out to get the right script out of the printer. I forgot to bring it in here. I apologize. But
that's right. People could deal with that right now.
Gambling problem?
Yeah. So what do you think, guys?
So if you have a gambling problem, you call certain numbers. Ontario always sucks. And what else?
Mm-hmm. That's all I got it up. Good time.
What is it? 168 hours after issuance?
163.
This says 8.
No, it has to be 8.
Okay. It's 8. So, well, I don't know, man. I do this, that Ranger game, I was just, I think that was probably the most deflated I was after a loss all year than that game. I was so, I didn't want to watch this team play ever again. I was so disgusted. And I think a lot of it had to do with the Siegenthaler hit and just the fact that we just couldn't get anything going. We had, like you said, we're gliding, we're not skating, we're not doing the things that makes this team a dangerous team. And we've yet to see it all year. But holy shit, I mean, I was not expecting this 5-2 against Dallas.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I think if any one of us go back a couple weeks when we're talking about it, I don't think anyone would have confidence that we're winning this particular game. It was probably one we circled as a loss, and rightfully so. Doesn't mean we couldn't. Obviously, it looks like maybe we can, but you don't expect it. And then that puts us back in a familiar situation where if the Islanders and Detroit lose today, like they did, we're 4 points back of those two. Washington's kind of in the way. I'm just not overly worried about them. And then you start looking at the schedule again. I know, which is a terrible thing to do, but we got Arizona next.
Well, this is our problem, right? We've done this year where we beat a team we maybe shouldn't have beat, right. And then we go into a next game against a team that we should beat, and we look terrible. Arizona is not – I mean, they're not a good team. But at the same time, they did just beat Detroit. They didn't win a game in all of February, but that was last month, and we know how quickly things can change in this league. So are you getting a team in Arizona that's going to be playing some of their best hockey on Saturday? Because you cannot take that game lightly, because you'll get beat. And that's just a game. That's an inexcusable 2 points if you drop it.
They've done it before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, how bad – like, this is now the time where you see what this team is made of, because really they haven't shown us to a man that they give a shit about this season. All year we haven't seen it. So, you know, we might not see it. You know, it might be this a few glimpses here and there for the rest of the year, but we're never in striking distance and we never get over the hump. And that could very well be what happens. But I could also see it turning around in this team in 2 weeks being one of the hottest teams in the NHL.
Listen, yeah. I mean, I'm going to stick with the optimism until there's none left. And again, assuming we can win this right now, it looks like at the end of the day, we're 4 points out, tied with one team and one other to jump. I mean, to me, it's just very much within the realm of possibility. It's still right there. It might take the entire year to do it.
But once you get in, you cannot fall out. Like, if they get in 2 weeks' time and there's another 2 to 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks left in the season, like, you can't drop out then. Like, if you fight your way back into a spot, it better just be because this team legitimately has turned a corner. And, you know, I liked, and the thing is, even though we lost on Monday, I liked Kakanen's play. I didn't think he played badly. Damn, what did you think?
I thought he had a
good
game. I really did think he had a good game. He made some insane saves he shouldn't even have made, too. So he kept them in there, you know. You definitely can't fault him for that game.
Listen, I've always liked his game from afar. I don't get to see it that often. I've seen him play us, and it was one of those games where, like, aren't we supposed to beat this guy? We're making him, like, the best goalie in the world. That's my sample size. But from what I've known of him, I've always liked him. And he really has been good prior to the last couple of years on a very, very bad team.
Yeah,
really I bad. Don't like the way that Fitzgerald just dismissed him as the trade piece for Vanacek. I think that was, it's a stupid comment to make. Okay, it's still a player. You don't say that. Even if that's what it was, you just don't say it. But B, I don't know. I mean, I think given the two, I think he could be the better of the two here.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I'd like to see him. Dallas is about to go on another power play. It is Kevin Ball again.
Yeah, come on, Ball.
Yeah, I was about to say on his last one, he's taken too many penalties lately. And now it's no doubt.
Yeah, you can't.
I mean, that's
the
thing, too, like with McDermott, you touched on it before. Like, maybe he doesn't need to be in every game. Right, you know what I mean? There's certain teams that you don't need his presence. And, you know, I'd be interested to see if we can get Foot back up here. Sooner he is up. He's actually up here, right? He can't be on the AHL. So
double
I'd love
shift,
to see him get in.
Holtz, too. You know, you can give him, like, limited time and have him on the bench. But, like, you know, double shift somebody else.
Yeah, there are some games, I agree with you, that, you know, Nolan Foot can maybe be in over McDermott. We got a nice shorthanded opportunity here. Block shot.
Yeah, you know what teams there are. You know the teams that are going to try to push you around. We put them out for that. The teams that aren't, you're playing Buffalo or whatever, you know, you're going to run a gun against them. I would go with a guy like Foot.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, especially when McDermott's not dropping the gloves in every single game. Like, if that was the case, and this was the NHL 20 years ago, where every team had a guy that wanted to drop them and fight, it's just not the case anymore. You play him in every divisional game, you know, every conference game, I would even say, but definitely every divisional game you have left, you put him in.
Some teams can surprise you too. Like, they may not do anything because he's there.
Well, I thought that with Florida.
Yeah.
They did not take liberties like they normally do, because when you look over there and you got one of the toughest dudes in the league sitting there, you maybe think twice about it. And I think Florida did. They're not a stupid team. And the Rangers, they just avoided it and took the cowardly way out. And they have absolutely nothing to be proud of for how they acted in that game. Absolutely.
Hopefully they got, this is something to coming back their way. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that next game. I want
to see McDermott's first shift. He has to take somebody the fuck out.
Yeah.
Enough to make somebody come fight him.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not even looking for McDermott to go chase him down and fight him right off the bat. No. You tried that already last game, and he ran away from you. Now your job is to take somebody out.
But I'm not against a guy like, let's say, Chris Tierney or Tomas Nosek, maybe some dude in our fourth line that if they get suspended a couple of games, you know, you're going to miss them, but it's not killer to your team. I'm not against one of those dudes going past Panarin and just sticking your elbow out and cranking his fucking head off. I'm not against it. And definitely on Reppy if he could.
I just think the whole team needs to go heavy shift after shift to 100%. The point where it just annoys the piss out of the Rangers. I don't care if we lose the game because we're foolishly coming off our game just to go out of our way to hit people. Just make it a menace. You know what I mean? Just over and over again. Don't give them anything.
I would say take out a goalie. If you nothing else, do what you can do. All like right. they, we owe them big time.
Yeah, I do think that the gloves need to come off on April 4th. You can't do this again. This has now been two of the three games where you've been embarrassed and manhandled, and you had no answers for it. Now,
feed off of it. That team feeds off of it as it goes on, and it becomes a story within itself, bigger than the game, and it always gets out of hand. And then it's the same thing that happened to playoffs last year on the games that we lost to them. There's this mystique that happens during these games, and it just gets out of control. You have to control it from day one. Got to go after their guys.
Now, just imagine, right, the year that the Rangers have had, right? They've barely slumped the entire year. They've had a stranglehold on the Metropolitan Division basically since the second week of the season, right, and they haven't let it go. Every time you've played them, they not just beat you, they embarrassed you, and took some of your fucking dudes out.
Right, so they're doing everything they wanted to do. They're coming in, they're running the league, they come against the team that knocked them out. They're destroying us in the regular season, so I know where you're going with this. Yep. Everything's pointing rosy.
So what happens in New York if they lose first round again to New Jersey?
Nothing.
Because their window is closing. And if you have the season that you have with the expectations that you have and these stupid schmucks from Jersey who you've kicked the shit out of all year long just come out and take you out again in the first round and move on. Like, I don't know if there's any answers there at that point. You know, there's nothing that would make me, even if we lost in four or five games to the Hurricanes in the second round, I think I could still go to bed very, very happy with this Devil season, at least the way it ends.
Well, especially considering where we are today, we would take anything to get into the playoffs. And if we actually could beat the Rangers, that would be such gravy. It would be so deflating for them, at least for a couple of weeks. Then their fans will just come back talking their same old shit, maybe saying like, you know, we haven't won a cup since 2003, forgetting about when their last cup was, like stupid shit that
they
always say.
Do Ranger fans actually throw that up in Devil fans' faces? That we
I saw two guys going back and forth on that on X like last week.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, how many cups have the Rangers won since there were more than six teams in the league? One cup. Exactly. One. Right. So the
other means they got three.
They got three when there were only six teams.
Everybody else that was part of that six has multiple.
Oh, the Rangers are definitely
way more than three.
The Rangers are definitely the least amount of cups for that.
Here's what I don't get. This new thing that I've been seeing a lot is they're calling us poverty franchise. And I don't quite understand that because numbers aside, right, marketing aside, like the Devils now fill the building. Right?
This is something to say,
man. This is just something they do. Like, a lot of times, where does it come from? Yeah, what does it mean?
It's like a meme talk. I've seen a lot of Devils memes where Jack is doing something at your poverty franchise or whatever it is. You know, it's just, I don't know.
Is it meme more in, like, is it just, are they being like actual, like,
nah,
the Devils don't make any money?
Everybody's saying this right now.
I don't get it.
So I guess our look on social media is a negative one, huh?
I think our fans are extremely funny at the way that they combat.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And I mean, it's been hard very to intelligent be happy fans. Right now, but they've been pretty.
Yeah,
I think the at least the Devils accounts that I've found on Instagram, they pretty much got it. Once in a while, you see somebody's like, you know, out to lunch, but I mean, it's pretty good.
It's not even an argument that you could literally say as far as a successful team in their history. The Devils are a far more successful team in their briefer history than the Rangers in their 100-year history. And not even just talking about cup count, and I don't count. I'm sorry. I'll give them one of the when there's only six teams. You know what I mean? I'll give them one of that. But I'm not even talking about cup count. I'm just saying from the time we became relevant after our few years in the league, back before expansion, just you were good teams, we had decade-plus of consistent success. It was either us or the Flyers, first or second in the division for a whole decade. Head-to-head against the Rangers, I believe with the last one, we've tipped that scale,
playoffs, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Done more.
Yeah.
In far less time.
I mean, you also, like, to me, you're not the Detroit Red Wings. You're not the Chicago Blackhawks. No. You're not the fucking Boston Bruins. Like, you maybe don't chirp about that kind of stuff when you're at least with a team that statistically has been better over the course of time, like you just said. Like, to me, that's just ignorant and dumb that you, you know, like, to be honest with you, like, I know they've beaten us in the playoffs after 94 and stuff, but like, when we were at our best from, you know, 95 to 2004, 2003, the Rangers weren't even a threat.
I think, like, they beat us in 97. I think they knocked us out.
Was it 97? I thought it was after the 2003. That was a first round loss. We just had nothing going. We couldn't get, I remember one series against them. Like, we just couldn't score goals. It wasn't even that, it might've been Richter even then. If it was 97, it was probably Richter. You know, just
since then we bounced them out of two playoffs.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they did bounce us out of, I think, twice in between our cups, but here's the difference. We would like get bounced and win a cup.
Right.
Play another year, get bounced, win a cup.
And also, you know, let's look at how you lost last year. You know, this wasn't like, you know, we took our home game, you took your home game, got down to game seven, you know, everybody. Like, you had a two-game lead. Yeah. Like, your odds of winning that series.
And then you went home. You went home with that two-game lead.
You took the two road games. Anybody with a brain looks at this and says the Devils are dead to rights. You know, you
got
to
win 2 out of 5.
Both of your home games, and now you got to go to the Garden, and they took them both there. Like, the way we beat you, you have no other than you haven't won shit this season. You know, nobody, like, if the Rangers don't win, like, what is, if they win a round in this playoffs and get bounced in the second, is this a successful season? I mean, and
probably
let's say
not the, for them at this point, but if the Devils, they do want to win.
If the Devils make it in. Like, if the Devils just make it in, the how great they're going to have to be playing to get there. Like, they will be that team nobody wants to play in the first round. And that's a better story than your team that's just been good all year. And if they get into the playoffs, they have, you know, probably shit the bed, because there are better teams, even better teams coming out of the East. Like, I'm sorry, Florida beats the Rangers. Boston beats the Rangers. Toronto gives the Rangers a hell of a series. Carolina beats the Rangers. Flyers have an opportunity to beat the Rangers. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about two rivals that play each other really, really hard. And I think a 7-game series, I don't know if anybody wants to play the Flyers in period for a 7-game series. They're going to be a really tough out. I'm kind of hoping they drop out and don't make the playoffs, period, because I do think they're going to be really tough.
Yeah, they've kind of got that feel about them this year. You know, it's like all credit to them. And that is just sheer will. Good on them. There's nothing really to say bad about them.
I heard that currently there's 13 teams over cap. And some of them, are like crazy way over. And they're using, you know, LTIR and other things like Vegas, I think, is in the lead with this.
Vegas always does this.
Yeah, and people are starting to get pissed about it. And I'm just wondering, you know, like 13 teams, we're almost up to half the team is over the cap. What happens, you know, when it stays that way? I mean, what's the enforcement here? And because there was an article I came across, it was basically saying Fitzgerald could have went out and signed a bunch of guys if he would have used the LTIR.
And he absolutely could have.
Yeah. So it makes you wonder, well, what the hell is the problem with that? Like,
I think he had no faith in this team. I think, and you know, I honestly think Fitzgerald had the mindset that this team is not making the playoffs. I have to do something.
Is it just because Dougie Hamilton's not coming back? Because the rest of it was his team.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think you ever give up on your franchise, especially when there's a fighting chance. You know, I don't know. Tom Fitzgerald, I can't explain a lot of the stuff he's done this year.
Yeah. I don't want to beat it down anymore, but if he truly believed that we weren't capable of doing it, if he had pulled the trigger earlier,
And
not just on a coach. I mean, it didn't take us very long to realize we needed a goaltender.
Yeah.
Could have had Mark.
We needed defense too. We know we needed a lot of things, but the two main things we needed to do was the coach did eventually have to go. That was not working, and neither was the goaltending. So if he would have acted quicker, maybe we're not in this position where we're going, this might not be our year. It very well could have been our year.
I think he is the reason, the main reason. When the pie chart of blame gets done at the end of this year's Devil's year, I think the blame for this season
Let's say it like it is. He fucked up.
He dropped the ball.
Everything went so well for him the last couple of years. He was riding that momentum, rightfully so. I still think he signed the right people. I know everyone's talking about, you know, how good Sharon Govich is doing, whatever. What we got from Toffoli, if the team were meeting expectations, is what we needed, a veteran player who can – put the puck in the net when we need it. Nobody could foresee that Sharon Govich was going to do exactly what he's doing right now. And it doesn't mean he would have done it in our team anyway. He probably would have been in a different role. But
yeah, he had all that
going.
Line.
Right. He had all that going for him, and he just kept kind of putting his foot down on the gas and then going further with what he had. Yeah. And I think we're going to hear about this in the summer. He will probably come out and admit that he was somewhat blinded by our previous success, assuming it has to turn around at some point, that he should have acted a little bit quicker. Now, you probably would have like cut Lindy a month before I was. Remember, it took me a little while to come around.
Yeah,
but for me, even 5, 7, 10 games more would have been huge.
That's a difference. That's a huge difference. And, you know, I understand what you're saying about Toffoli coming here and getting what we needed from him and everything like that. Now, Sharon Govich had an off year last year. Sharon Govich was being used last season a lot like Alex Holtz is being used this season.
Yes.
So there is an argument to be made that if Lindy Ruff had used Sharon Govich like, you know, he's being used in Calgary, that maybe he is still here and we don't go out and get Toffoli and we're not all disappointed. I was very disappointed in Sharon Govich's play last year. You know, I really was. I mean, even when he was playing up in the top six for a few games here and there, he was not performing. So I'm happy for him. But again, I just think it was obvious early on, maybe if you really do think about it, even back to last year where this team maybe was winning and doing as well as they were in spite of Lindy Ruff's terrible coaching. Because if you do look back, you can see some things that are suspect that really did kind of rear their heads this year. In a bad way, but like, I'm sorry, we said it on this show the day after the fucking Devils got bounced in the playoffs. They need to go out and get a goalie. They have to go get Connor Hellebuyck. We said that. I mean, and what was the reasoning? Well, A, Vitek Vanacek and Akira Schmid completely fell apart in the second round of the playoffs. That's the main reason. But we also knew that 95% of Damon Severson was gone and Luke Hughes was taking his spot. We also knew that there was a really good chance that Ryan Graves was going to be gone and maybe it was going to be Shimon Nemec or who else was going to come in to take that spot. So we knew there was going to be a really different look on defense, and defense was going to be very young. And they were, so getting that veteran goalie number one goalie is going to help those two dudes out as well. Yeah. And he ignored it, you know, and other than us talking about it on this show, and then we were the first ones to talk about it, but then it got steam all summer long. Devils are going to trade for Connor Hellebuyck. It sounded like Hellebuyck was down with the deal. It sounded like we were down with the deal, except for the fact that we had to pay him money.
We were already talking about how to fit in that money. I remember that.
It's even worse the way he passes on Markstrom because, back there in the summer, you have all this anticipation that you got this team and that the cap is the cap. You know, he didn't have any LTIR to play with or anything else. So why wouldn't he, you know, it sounded like they had the deal basically done, but he was just trying to get that much better of a deal.
Yeah, he got cute.
Yeah, he got cute. He got a little, you know, thinking that he was more than he was. And they finally said, fuck you. We don't have to make a deal with you. And, you know, he went a little too far trying to get the best deal.
Yeah. And we said it the day after we lost to Calgary. You never should have let him leave. Like, he should have stayed with the, that was when the trade was pretty much, we heard about it, was getting consummated. Like, this was going to happen. Why did you not pull the trigger when it was nice and easy for
everybody? What an audition he put on that night,
yeah,
too.
And he put on a great audition, played a great game, beat you. What better way to turn around to your team and say, I got your back.
He's on it the next day.
Right. I got your back, when the guy that just came into our building and beat you, guess what? He's your fucking goalie now. Get into the playoffs.
He didn't have the urgency. He really didn't. It's funny because, you know, now the theory is, well, he didn't think this was the team could do it. But, like, it was falling apart around him. Like, you know, like, it was – and he didn't – and it wasn't like, okay, look, if Lindy was still there and he said, you know what? The problems this team has, it's not the coach. I'm sticking with Lindy Ruff. All right, we'll either disagree with him, but there's a certain logic there. Like, right. Okay, that's what he's doing. Instead, he did come around, but he came around to what everybody was saying months ago, and he came around too late, what looks to be too late. Or if not, how about let's say just in the nick of time, if they somehow make into the playoffs, it's way closer than it needs to be.
Yeah, I just got the fucking vision in my head of Caddyshack, right? Bill Murray when he's out in the pouring rain, and he's right. Like, the guy's telling, let's get inside his rain. Who do you mean it's raining? It's just a couple of drops. That's Tom Fitzgerald this year. Everything's collapsing around him, and he's going, well, what do you mean we're not going to make the playoffs? Yeah. We're the Devils. You need to do something, dude. You need to get the fuck out of the rain.
And then he flips all the way with his idea of like, well, you know, then it's done. There's no reason to go big at the trade deadline.
And I really hope that Travis Green and part of his message to this club is, you know what, guys, fuck management, fuck the ownership, everything. Go out there and win it for you guys. Go out there, play for each other, and go. You know, Kokkonen, you were just a trade-in. You know, you were just a piece just to get rid of somebody, to get somebody off the books. Come in here and prove them wrong. Right. You know, come in and earn a fucking contract. I hope that's what he's saying, because I would love to see it, because these guys deserve it. They're a great team, and they just
being in a UFA after this, he's got all the motivation.
Absolutely,
it goes beyond even proving it to the Devils. He's got an audition,
absolutely,
for the NHL for next year. You know, so I think he will.
I gotta wonder if it wasn't for Jake Allen's situation with how long it's been since he's played. Period. If that wasn't part of the equation, if he's getting his start tonight.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was. You got to get both these guys ready. If you're going to try and make a run, you got to get them in a game. You know?
Yeah, I just didn't know if it would have been tonight, being in Dallas and all. You know, and I just – because to me right now, I still think he's a stronger goaltender. Maybe I'll be wrong. That's fine. Whoever can come in here and just put some wins together and get us above .900 save percentage, I'll take.
It is going to kind of be interesting, though, to see how Travis Green works this back-to-back this weekend. You know, I mean, it looks like third period's about to start here. Devils have a 3-goal lead against Dallas. It does look like they're going to pull off a huge win, a huge 2 points that's desperately needed, and you did it on the back of Jake Allen. You give him the back-to-back start, or do you feel like, you know what, Kokkonen, you know, I want to just throw these guys, rotate them, and doesn't matter.
I think they're going to go tandem until one guy goes lights out.
Because, I mean, I would personally
just go back and forth. What do you think? Yeah.
Well, I would personally like to see Kokkonen in net against Vegas. You know, he's also played Vegas a lot more than Jake Allen has. I'm curious what his numbers are against Vegas.
Yeah, you got to put some of that thought into it too. Look at who they're playing. Have they played him before? What's their track record against him? Sure, that's gonna factor in.
Well, Dallas is still on a power play. I forgot they started the third period of the power.
Got to kill that.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, if his numbers are good against Vegas, though, I mean, if Jake Allen feels good, he hasn't played in 3.5 weeks. If he gets you this win, you say, okay, buddy, you get the next start. You get him in against Arizona, and you know, this could be. Hopefully, this could maybe be the start of something.
I'm just confident that with either one of these two, we're going to get that one more save that we've been needing all year long.
You know? In a lot of games this year, that's all they needed. A lot of games, really, that was it. I mean, you even go back to that Florida game. They come back 2-0, and they tie it up. They have the momentum, and Schmidt just lets that soft goal in.
It was always the timeliness of the goals. Yeah. And it was either because they were, you know, back-to-back shotgun goals, or just an awful, you know, time in the game. Those are the ones that really need to take back.
Absolutely. Now, what's the time on the Arizona game? Are these games both afternoon games or this weekend?
Let's see again. Arizona's 5:00.
Okay.
And then 3:30 the next on Sunday against Vegas.
Oh, boy. I'm going to be
busy. That sucks. They got to leave Arizona, yeah. I mean, it's not that far, but still.
St. Patrick's Day. They're all going to be in Vegas. That sounds fun.
That would be fun. I want to go.
Yeah, I think we're going to wrap this thing up because Dan's falling asleep if he hasn't already fallen asleep. No, you're not. You're going to bed. I understand. It's getting late, and there's a third period to watch, but it does look like these guys are going to come out and hopefully get the 2 points. Anything else you guys want to add on tonight's show?
I'd just like to, again, remind everybody we've We've gotten rid of the complications. We are simply theunclepuckers.com now. Go there. Check out some of our blogs. We got three interesting posts, three very differently written blogs. So that's pretty entertaining. And just check out the site.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah, leave us a comment, too. We'd love to hear from you.
It's a great place.
We're very new
to
our old making shows. Sure it's working. Yeah,
absolutely.
That is the coolest thing, too, guys, that I'm getting to see now. We get to see how many people are digging into the old shows. If you go over to our downloads, Chris, you could see they're pulling stuff from last summer, from God knows. Cool. They're just pulling it by title, onesies and twosies. And that's really cool because that wasn't really happening before when we're only kind of in the Twitter space.
Right.
So now that they've got a place that they can go to and find it all easy, we're seeing a lot of people enjoying the old content. So,
well, they all have you to thank for it, Bobby. You put the whole thing together. We
You're
appreciate
a web
it.
Wizard.
We are a team of four. There is no I in team.
No, there's no F in Philadelphia either, and that's confusing. So, all right. Well, wherever you're listening to us, give us a like, a 5-star review, a subscription, a download. Helps us out with our little podcast here. And also be sure, like Bobby just said, theunclepuckers.com. Check us out. For Bobby and Dan, I'm Chris. We are the Uncle Puckers. We'll see you when we see you. Let's go, Devils!
Bye-byes.
It's coming. It's coming.
It's coming?
I think
so. You said.
Oh, wait. Maybe it's not. Hold on.
All right.
We can't even end the show.
All right. Is it coming, Dan? I'm about to stop the show. I'm stopping the show.
Bye-bye. You just stop the show.